All right, this is a great time of day because we get to send it to West Virginia, baby. As Sean Pendergast joins us now for a practice report live from West Virginia, courtesy of Yingling. Now with 100% more Seth Payne. What's happening, fellas?
That's right. Seth Payne.
That was the can cracking. Yeah,
can
in
they
the microphone.
Get a Yingling with my face on it yet?
With your face?
Yeah.
Do you want a Yingling right now?
No, I want a can that has my face on it.
I'll talk
like
to
the Seth Payne version.
See what they
or whatever.
Can do.
If they know business.
That'd be a big can, I tell you.
Sounds like you guys are having fun in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Enjoy Sean. I'll be gone. See you later.
Yeah.
No, I just look, it sounds like a better day from the offense. When D'Amico was talking about, he talked about individuals, but from your guys' perspective, how did the offense look? Because yesterday was obviously alarming hearing all the you know, word out of West Virginia.
It looked cleaner. It just looked cleaner. I think from just the standpoint of it not being as bad, where you had like just multiple instances yesterday where not only did the pass protection break down, but either CJ didn't have answers for where to go with the ball, or you know, he made bad decisions about where to go with the ball. It just looked like a cleaner operation. And I, you know, we've seen this throughout camp so far. The defense will kind of put it to the offense, and I think the offense adjusts however they need to adjust, and they made some improvements today. So it looked like it wasn't anything to get super excited about or to all of a sudden put your 401k on the Texans to be the top offense this year or anything, but it was a better performance.
No, yeah. But if I'm looking for something to get excited about real quick, guys, the run game was better today. I thought this was the best day that the run game has had in camp, and specifically Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb finally broke off a big run that was like a legit big run, like not a training camp big run where guys are just sort of touching him as he goes through the middle of the field. It was a toss to the outside, and he took it. In a regular game, it would have been probably about a 30 or 35-yard run. It was really good to see. And he followed that up. He didn't have another big play like that, but I thought he looked pretty spry getting through the hole, had some nice wiggle. And the other, as we've seen throughout camp as well, the backup guys did some things as well. So I thought the running game looked, this is a way better day for the offense.
As far as the offense in total, obviously we want to talk about the ones a lot. But and listen, everybody, you can save your angry tweets. I'm going to talk about what I saw today.
Yeah!
Davis Mills.
Give it to him. Yeah.
Magnificent.
It's true.
He connected with Jaden Higgins multiple times.
Three times.
He had a really nice shot downfield to Xavier Hutchinson. So Davis Mills, as he has for a lot of camp, he's put some good pieces of work together in practice.
Yep.
So we're not grading on a curve here, right? Because it's been so bad. And that's kind of what I was listening to D'Amico. Like, this was legit a better day, or is it like, okay, so it's not disastrous?
I think that, okay, so for one thing with this team, the hard thing to judge during training camp is inside runs, when they're running between the tackles. It's really hard when you can't give the offensive line can't do a true, genuine double team where they're just trying to bury somebody in the dirt. They got to hold back a little bit. It's hard sometimes, and you give a little bit of a benefit of the doubt to the offense. But by the same token, when it does work, and even as they're not allowed to really put their all into a double team, I saw multiple instances today where they got good movement and good push up the middle of the defense. And then Nick Chubb, he might not be the peak version of Nick Chubb ever again, but he is a guy who's got good vision and is going to run the play as it's called and just run to the opening and run to the hole. And we saw multiple instances of that today, to where, can they consistently run for positive yardage instead of just stuff, hey, break off a long run. I just want to consistently run for positive yardage. You can kind of start to see the vision for where Nick Chubb could be a part of that.
Very good. We're talking to Sean and Seth live from West Virginia, giving us a little bit of a practice report. And fellas, I would love to talk football, but I'm sorry. I'm a little bit of a drama king, queen, however you want to view it. We've got a fight. Can you guys break down the brouhaha for me, please?
Okay, yeah, Sean, you do the – I had a better shot of the Cade Stover versus C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Okay, which was sort of a – that was more of, I would say, a play that was should have had a bigger brawl attached to it.
Yeah, so Cade Stover caught the ball and
– this is the undercard to the main event.
Yeah, C.J. Gardner-Johnson came up and wrapped him up, and as – I don't know if C.J. was going to take him to the ground or not, but from my vantage point, it looked like Cade wasn't happy about the level of contact. And he went ahead and just started to put C.J. Gardner-Johnson in a headlock as they were going to the ground.
Yep.
And then they got up and there was a scrum and you couldn't really see what was going on.
Right, right. So I immediately turned to Mark.
Oh, wait.
Yeah,
but real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, like, Cade Stover was amped up afterwards. Yeah. He was walking away and yelling and everything. I think it looks like he's got some new tattoos that I hadn't noticed before, yeah. which made it extra badass. Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
So then I turned to Mark Vandermeer, who's sitting next to me, and I said, well, if we're not going to get a full-on fight with a big farm boy going against the habitual line stepper, mm-hmm. then we're not going to see any fights this camp. And then, lo and behold, two plays later, Dalton Schultz catches a pass out in the flat. He's going to the ground to catch the ball, and Russ Yeast, number 25, comes in at head level. You know, it might have been one of those plays, like if there were referees there. We were a little far away to mm-hmm. see exactly what the level of contact was, but Russ Yeast was clearly coming in to the ground, missile style, at Dalton Schultz. May have caught his head. It was tough to see from our vantage point. But Dalton Schultz and Yeast both got up. Schultz has the ball. He throws it at Russ Yeast's feet. Mm. Russ Yeast clearly says something to Schultz because Schultz then just runs at him and grabs him in a bear hug, and they start swinging on each other. So that was the main event, I thought. That actually turned into a fight.
There were actually punches thrown in that one.
There were arms flailing, there was, for sure. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so what about Christian Harris and Damian Pierce back on the field? What you guys saw?
They were not back on the field with their teammates. They were in uniform working out on a side field. Mm-hmm. So they didn't do any of the drills. They were literally in their own workout mode with a trainer, separate from everybody else. Now they're both moving very, very well. I will say that.
And I don't think they really want us talking exactly about what they were doing or how or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were on a separate field working out. Yeah.
Heady play. All right, I will ask for a little bit more detail in the run game because I'm super excited, and we know that the offense is going to be predicated a lot more on the run. Was it mostly just with the ones, or was it all the way through? Because I think I've seen some people kind of hypothesize that Ed Ingram could have been very vital in helping them get the run open as well.
Yeah, I don't look at, as far as picking out the individual guys, I would say as a group, they looked better in the run game. I think that I'm torn with the centers right now. With Jake Andrews, I think he's better as a run blocker, at least from what I've seen. He's a little bit more stout. I think both the centers have question marks when it comes to pass protection. And I think I would say the same for any of the guards as well. That's my biggest concern. The one-on-one pass rushes today, the guys did fine individually, but when it came to the games portion, whereas two-on-two, mm-hmm. the defensive line looked very much like the more veteran and capable group there. The best games that the defensive line ran today was when they ran no game at all. And usually what happens is the centers and the guards or the tackles are kind of like they're anticipating the game and they're waiting for the guys to twist. And then the defensive line doesn't do anything. They just bull rush them straight back into the quarterback. I didn't feel great about that portion for the offensive line.
All right, so Seth, this is where I think you can really help give me some clarity. We're not out there. You guys are. It seemed, I mean, there's still the pass game. I mean, Kamar Lassiter had two more interceptions. He's having a great camp, like a truly great camp. But there's also seems to be some either miscommunication or maybe just a bad throw. Apparently one of them was overthrown by C.J. Stroud. What do you see in there in terms of just the passing game?
I think my biggest impression from CJ, realistically, and I'm not like pushing the panic meter or mm-hmm. anything, is that it doesn't feel like he's as accurate as he typically is. And I know that a lot of people don't want to hear anything about the fact that he didn't participate in OTAs until minicamp, or that don't read anything into how many reps he had early on or whatever. All I can say is that he doesn't seem like a ball placement specialist like he typically is. So is that because of just the difficulty that the defense is giving him, or is it something with his arm itself? I don't know. But if I had to, if you dropped me out there and I knew nothing about this team whatsoever, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be gushing about the quarterback's accuracy
right
now.
When CJ has looked at his best in this camp and here in West Virginia, to add on to the stuff we saw in Houston, to me, it's been when he's going to his first read, mm-hmm. when he's just dropping back and it's the first guy. It's quick stuff before the defense, before the line has a chance to roll over the defensive line has a chance to roll over the offensive line. If it gets past his first read, it looks like his feet start to get a little jittery. Mm-hmm. Those are the balls he tends to sail. Also, the ones where he's had to wait a little bit longer, he's had a little more time in the pocket. So that's troubling. You know, there's enough I've seen with CJ here to where I have a concern level. I don't know how high the concern level is, but it exists. Like, yeah. I'm not brushing this off as, well, they're putting in a new offense, and he's got all these new linemen. And, boy, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter sure are good. Like, yeah. he is missing on balls he normally makes.
He's sailed enough footballs that it feels like there could be a soundtrack with the Doobie Brothers behind it. Like, we're sailing on a yacht somewhere in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. We can just go Christopher Cross right there, man. Sailing straight up.
Christopher Cross, yeah.
All right. I was wanting to see if you would do it, and I appreciate that you actually delivered.
You're welcome.
I will try and deliver for this texter who wants to know what the weather is like up there. I feel like we know what's going to happen, but go ahead and do it to us.
It's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how the Bible describes heaven necessarily. If I could give you some scripture, then maybe I could do it that way. But just about perfect, I guess.
It's awesome. It's been in the 60s. At practice, the only time it gets hot is when the sun, the cloud cover, a lot like in Houston, the cloud cover moves aside and the temperature gets up to 73.
Yeah.
What a shame.
Yesterday was a little uncomfortable. I started to sweat a little bit yesterday when I was sitting on the patio for 3 hours.
What did that feel like?
You know what? Hey, guys, you guys know why it's great to have a great co-host. I was looking out at the patio. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do some work out there, but man, the sun's actually shining kind of hot. And Sean says, hey, Seth, why don't you open up the umbrella on the table?
Yeah. I'm like, that's good advice.
I honestly wouldn't have thought of that.
That's beautiful.
I'm like, I would have sat out there in the sun.
The yin and the yang, baby.
I'm trying to get into the shade of the pole from this fabric thing behind. Yeah.
All right. I have a few quick things. So can we do this pretty quickly if you don't mind, fellas?
Sure.
I know that John wants to know. He wanted an update on the living situation because I don't think we had an opportunity to really check in with you guys and see how you guys
set the scene, man.
Okay, so Sean booked everything and everything. It's a nice ranch style home that's got a huge living room, a nice kitchen, a bird feeder, and we've got deer. We've got
Have you seen a black bear yet?
No
black bears yet, but we've got a doe and two fawns every morning.
Mm. Yeah.
And then we've got three bedrooms to choose from.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, there was no Sean got the bedroom or good bedroom or anything. Yeah, it's been delightful.
No, and the family of fawns, the family of deer, the doe and the two fawns, one of the fawns is very astute. The other one is stupid.
Yeah, the mother and the one fawn will leap off into the woods when we open the patio door. Yeah. The other one just stops and stares at us and waiting for us to shoot it.
Right.
To which Sean said, that's the Altuve deer. That's... He stops on the base paths and he's just standing there.
That deer is Altuve. I'm like, that's Altuve's deer right
So we've dubbed him Altuve.
Yes.
Very well, that's adorable. We've got nicknames and everything. Mm-hmm. All right. Sean, you're familiar with Seth. You might not be. We've been doing our pet cats for a training camp. A different, way of kind of looking at camp. Can you give us some winners on the day? Oh, a handful of winners on the day?
On the day, or at least Darrell Taylor, man, he's fun to watch. The defensive end that they had signed.
We haven't talked about him.
Bro, let me go meathead here. Bro, if you walked out on the field and you just saw Darrell Taylor doing individual drills or something, you might think he was a Will linebacker. Like, he's put together physically really well. He's undersized for a defensive end, but he can move.
Yeah.
And it's fun to watch him go. Like, here's a guy a lot of people remember had a really strong rookie season in Seattle and then kind of just faltered off. Spent 1 year in Chicago last year, and it was kind of a weird year for him, and they didn't use him as much as maybe they could have. But he looks really good. I'm intrigued by him.
Hmm. Anybody else?
Oh, I gave him mine yesterday. But
okay. Sorry.
Oh, I'm giving daily winners. Come on, man.
Like Nick Chubb had it.
Yeah. Daily winners.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
I thought you said something about pet projects
today, I mean, Lassiter looked like an all-pro out there today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't just the two picks. Like, he was in everybody's hip pocket all day long. So I would say Lassiter and I would say Nick Chubb on the offensive side.
Yeah, and Lassiter, I spoke to Lassiter after practice yesterday, and we ended up kind of doing a lot of heavy X's and O's type of stuff. I had him teach me like I'm a high school defensive back, and which is kind of ambitious for my defensive back knowledge, but on a couple of his interceptions from last year. And he's a lot like Stingley in that when he starts talking about ball, you can just tell how much he studies and how much he's passionate about it. It's like hearing a physics professor talk about physics, and they nerd out on it. It's really cool to listen to him and just watch the way he works and operates, like a real professional. He's like a 10-year vet.
All right. Petrie had a good day. Pete, real quick, too, I'll just give you a Petrie had a good day today, too. He had a pass breakup covering Nico Collins out of the slot. That was good to see. And he had a TFL on somebody where he just – Petrie stuff, man. Just straight into the backfield, 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And I'm also bringing up, because I interviewed him after practice, and I'm gonna post that interview on social here within the next 30 minutes.
We're in the same spot. So you talked to Petrie. Seth, who'd you talk to?
I talked to Kalen Bullock.
Okay, perfect.
Oh, great.
All right, so that's what you should look out for at Sports Radio 610 on all social media. And then, of course, check out Seth and Sean themselves. Fellas, this is so fun. I think we should do this again tomorrow.
Yay.
Okay.
All right.
All right, very good.
I'm in.
Sean and I are both coming on in separate times with Clint this afternoon as
well.
Yeah,
I'm going on at 3:40. Seth's going on at 5:20. And we'll be on Area 45 at 7:40.
Beautiful, beautiful. Awesome. Got it covered, and we appreciate you guys doing your work out in West Virginia. That was Sean Pendergast joining us for a practice report live from West Virginia, courtesy Yingling. And, of course, you got a bonus Seth Payne.
How about that?
Who
that
could
great.
Complain about bonus Seth Payne, man?
Yeah.
That's a great bonus to have on any given day. Appreciation to the fellas again. All right, coming up next, right here in Loop on Sports Radio 610, Nick Haley said something that seems like caught your attention. I want us to break it down next.